from the Xfinity Studios at WVON.
You're listening to American Heroes, hosted by Cliff Kelly on WVON AM 1690.
Good afternoon. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. I'm Cliff Kelly, and this is America's Heroes Group Roundtable, legally speaking, with none other than Steve Seidman, attorney Steve Seidman of Seidman, Margulis & Fairman, LLP, who also is a sponsor, a proud sponsor of this show at 20 South Clark Street, 2 First National Plaza, Suite 700, Chicago, Illinois, 60603. Toll-free number is 888-837-3275, and the office number is 312-781-1977. America's Heroes Group, She Serves, She Matters, partner and sponsor, National Women's Veterans United. National Women's Veteran United at 8620 South Pulaski Road on the lower level. Office number 872-731-2150. Website www.nwvu.org. Also, America's Heroes Group is proudly sponsored by Pearls Down Home Cooking. Southern Cooking at 3901 South Michigan Avenue, Chicago, Illinois. Phone number is 877-275-5852. They have a buffet. You're going to love it. I'm Cliff Kelly, the host. Executive producer is Glenda Smith. Our digital media producer is Manny Corazzari, who does such a great job here. And, as I mentioned, who do we have with us? He's right here, attorney Steve Seidman, America's Heroes Group advisory board member and sponsor. Counselor, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks, Cliff. Nice to see you again.
Always a pleasure to see you. Always a pleasure to see you. Also with us, we have on our live line Stephen Hanworker, who is an Iraq veteran Army specialist and the third person deployed to Iraq. And Mr. Hanworker, thank you so much for being with us
today.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Thank you so much. Before we go further, we want to hear an audio clip from WGN Channel 9 featuring Mr. Hanworker.
After the September 11th attacks, many were called to service. We're talking to two men who answered that call. Ray is an Army captain, and he was what he called kind of retired as an individual ready reserve. After the attacks, he voluntarily returned to active duty and was deployed to Iraq. And Stephen joined the Army and was sent to Baghdad.
They join us this morning, and thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
I always wonder what it's like looking back on this anniversary when it was so impactful on what you all did following that attack. Why don't you take us through that day?
Well, September 11th, when it happened, I actually saw the second tower get hit. And when I was watching it, as every American was, I felt violated.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a daughter. And right then, the thoughts started thinking. And then on Thursday, that morning, I took her to school for physical for school. And she jumped up and gave me a hug and said, "Daddy, I love you." And right then, I knew it was time to go.
Wow. And how about you, Ray?
Well, as I was watching the footage over and over again, like I said, I'd been in IRR for a while.
And that means you were in the Army, but you were on a reserve basis at this point, right?
A completely reserve basis, not drilling, not in a unit or
like
anything.
Kind like kind of
that.
Semi-retired almost?
Semi-retired,
okay.
But not drawn retired pay.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't know what happened initially. I don't think anybody did know exactly what was going on, but I knew that something big was going to happen and that a lot of servicemen were going to be called up and go. And I just knew if they were going to go, I had to go with them.
What are your thoughts so that you can communicate to people about war? Are the average person who has not been to war has an idea of what it is from the movies or what is it like? Does it change your perspective of what we should be doing in the future, especially when it comes to a place like Afghanistan?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that the things that people just can't possibly understand without being there is the smell and the tedium and the special kind of anxiety, but also the special kind of purpose that you know, that you develop if you're staying on task. But really, the most striking sense I had driving into and through Baghdad a couple of days into the invasion was the stench of death. Mm-hmm. And how pervasive that was, and it was just everywhere, and you couldn't get it out of your nostrils for quite a while, and then that developed into living in a place that had been torn apart by war, and was getting further torn apart by war, and just seeing how it had destroyed the social fabric of the country.
Stephen, talk about how it was for you. You were in the first wave that went in, yes?
Yes, we were the first unit that went across the border, coming from Kuwait. About 20 minutes into it, we were shot at by one of their opposing tanks, and we knew it was on. When we crossed the border, there was what's called the garrison flag, which is an American flag, but it's a huge-sized flag. It wasn't like a welcoming committee, but it was to let us know it's time to do your job. And the one thing I take out of it is, like he's saying, you have that smell, you have all that. And we can't convey it to civilians, but the one thing we ask is for the sacrifices that the soldiers did make. Appreciate your freedoms.
That's very interesting. Steve, what do you want to add anything to that? Stephen? Can you hear me?
Stephen, are you there?
Yeah.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yeah, we were asking, do you want to add anything to that interview with the WGN Channel 9 clip?
Absolutely. As you heard Ray talking and as I'm talking, mm-hmm. We serve with plenty of heroes over there, and there's a stress that comes from it. Mm-hmm. It's PTSD. And with the PTSD, it comes from traumatic experiences. And with these traumatic experiences, the problem is that a lot of these soldiers, that when they come back home, they have no one they can reach out to. They don't know who they can reach out to. There's plenty of organizations. I'm actually part of a great organization in Naperville, a VFW. It's called the Judd Kendall Post. It's with Commander Pablo Arroyo. Like, if there's any soldiers out there that would love to be part of the VFW, they could join us. But what we need to do is, when soldiers are getting out, they need to feel like important. They need to feel they could talk to someone. Part of the problem with the PTSD right now is that 22 veterans a day mm-hmm. are killing themselves mm-hmm. Due to suicide.
Yep.
And there's plenty of hotlines out there. I talked to a lady this morning on a 1-800 number, and she was giving me some stats. Some of the stats this morning that I was getting is that soldiers, when they get out from 18 to 30, are more than double what it is a normal civilian. Most veterans have mental illness. Two-thirds of them have substance abuse. 50% of them have a disability. And these soldiers don't know that there's people out there. There's plenty of organizations. And it's a stigma of mental illness when it really isn't. It's more of a morale injury. You just need to change the verbiage. We need to let people know that it's okay. With the VA right now, they have a organization which is called Friends of Ward 8. And what could happen is you could become part of this, and they could also help you in a six-week program get back to civilian thinking. There is, I believe what we need to do is when a soldier joins the military, there's a tons of in-processing. But when a soldier is getting out, there's a checklist. Hey, did you pay your cable bill? Did you clean your room? Thanks, Johnny. Thanks for serving. Mm-hmm. Then nobody seems to check up on them again. I believe there should be a six-month program or a 12-month program or even a five-year program. So they know that they're important, they're part of the civilian world, and that we're there for them. There is a couple phone numbers which I could give.
Go right ahead.
And some of the phone numbers for there's a suicide hotline, mm-hmm. which is 1-800-273-8255. Now, the thing about it is for most millenniums is they're not going on a call. So what's very important, they have a thing where you can just text now. If you text 741-741 and you type the word reach, somebody will be there for you immediately. And they're there to reach out to you.
That's mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Mr. Handworker, that's great because a lot of people, I'm sure, are totally unaware of it. And, you know, the circumstance is increasing. So people like yourself really bring us a lot of help. And, of course, you know, Steve Seidman, who does so much help with the who's here with us, of course, the consulate does so much help with the veterans. Steve, you want to?
Yeah, please.
Think, uh-huh.
And it's interesting. It's ironic. Almost September is Suicide Prevention Month.
Right.
And what I was asking Steve before when we talked this morning, and I was asking him, why is it, do you think, that veterans who are discharged from service and active military have so many problems and 22 deaths a day? I mean, that is an incredible amount. And by the way, Steve told me they span all the way from World War II to present day and all of these groups. And it was said to me, and Steve said, here's why. If you go back to your high school buddy, your college buddy, you're talking about something. If they haven't served in the military, they don't get it. They don't get that what it's like to experience death, to kill somebody, mm-hmm. to have that stench of death mm-hmm. is what we heard in that clip. Okay. Mm-hmm. They don't get it, and they need somebody that they can actively talk to who does understand. And that's, you know, and Steve was, and I commend him, because all he says is, if I save one life, that one out of the 22 a day, even.
22 a day.
22 yeah. a day. Steve, yeah. is that the accurate statistic? Steve?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't hear you. I'm sorry. Say it one more time.
Is it 22 a day?
Yes, it is. 22 a day is the number. They started doing it a couple years ago on the lake. It's called Ruck 22. It's for veterans who are trying to help out to reach out to veterans so they know they have help. It's a staggering number. And I believe if we can reach out to these veterans when they're, it's called ETSing, formally discharging, mm-hmm. and let them know that we're there and let them know we care, we should be able to bring down those numbers.
Yeah.
But, yeah, 22 a day is the correct number.
We hope that
yes.
This will happen. Our call-in line, by the way, is 312-374-8130, America's Heroes Group, 312-374-8130, if you have a question. or want to make a comment, feel free to call us. Attorney Steve Seidman, of course, is with us. As always, he's, you know, the America's Heroes Group Advisory Board member and sponsor, and does a lot of help with these folks. Counselor, what else do you think?
Well, I think there's a lot of various problems facing the military. In the last few months, we've gone through so many of them. Hopefully this week, Congressman Davis is going to help us through the changes with the Ferris Act.
Right.
That's the Ferris Doctrine. The doctrine that says that military personnel cannot sue for malpractice in a military institution mm-hmm. while in service.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about the hearing devices that were from the veteran that were given to veterans by 3M or Aero, and they didn't work. In fact, that's how I met Stephen. He's one of those that was injured. We've talked about all kinds of things, sexual harassment in the military. This is something in one thing about suicide. Unfortunately, it's like people don't talk enough about it. If people talked a lot about it and dealt with it up front, we maybe would see less of it. Even in general society, we're seeing, I think, an epidemic mm-hmm. of suicide, and that's why there's this awareness month right now. But with regards to active service personnel, getting some type of help straight away when they leave is imperative. And I don't exactly know how mechanically that works, Steve. Maybe you could tell us how that would work when somebody is discharged. Mm-hmm. How is it they're supposed to get this type of counseling right away?
Steve, go right ahead.
I'm sorry. Yes. Mm-hmm. No, so as I was saying, is I think part of our out processing that has to be for soldiers is when they sit down with their chain of command and they find out where they live, they need to find out where their VA center is, where their VA hospital is, and go over a list of things that they could do to help them. Maybe help them get a job. Maybe help them get counseling, which is available. Like in Chicagoland, there's Hines Hospital. There's plenty of qualified counselors there that could. And if you don't have the time to go in, you could actually go over to the computer and do a teleconference once a week. You know, you could set up that time, and they're there to help you out. The soldiers sometimes they feel bad to ask out for a week for help, and because civilians don't exactly understand what they've gone through.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is, if you have someone that you care about and you love, and you know they're a hero and they've gone through so much, it's not so much. It's don't tell them it's going to be okay. Listen to them. Mm-hmm. Bring up the conversation. Let them talk. That sometimes is therapy for them. And you know what? If you need to go with them to the VA hospital to get that help, go with them. They're going to tell you what they need.
You know, I think that's a great thing what you're saying, Stephen. But I would suggest and also to the consular, some people may need help, but they don't even realize it.
That's right. I think that the nature mm-hmm. of PTSD is post-traumatic syndrome is you don't even know you have a problem.
Yeah.
You see people's personality change. People who love them know it, mm-hmm. but they don't even realize it.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, there needs to be some type of diagnostics done, figure it out, and help these folks understand what they're going through. Some people might think they're just depressed or angry, but it could very well be the PTSD they've just, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. it's not unusual experiences.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Absolutely. If I could touch upon one thing about that, if I can, please.
Sure, please.
PTSD, it could be flashbacks. It could be you waking up and seeing yourself in that situation again. But it could also be that now when you get back to the civilian world, you're on high alert and your anxiety is at an all-time high. Like you might walk in a restaurant and your back always has to be to the wall. You might always have a clenched fist. Mm-hmm. You might always be watching people when they put a bag down. There's all different types of PTSD, and like you said, counselor, we need to help them get diagnosed, and if we could get them to get diagnosed, I think we could help a good percentage of them. And we could help a good percentage of them with these 22 a day. You know, sometimes when they come home, they might start drinking. They might start doing other things they shouldn't do. You know, there's a high divorce rate. A lot lose their jobs. But, you know, we need to be there for them. We need to let them know that, hey, It's important. Let's figure out what this is. Let's come up with a game plan and let's work together.
Well, you're certainly on point. And the one thing that I had mentioned before, and I'm sure the consular heard me say this for the first time, I was happy to hear on 4th of July they were making an announcement, if you're using fireworks, think of the animals. But this time they added, and the veterans.
Right.
And I had never heard of that. Do that, yes. And that means something.
You're one of the people, Bob Pavich, who I tremendous lawyer, bright guy. He was a veteran for Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
Every time he heard a firework, he dove.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a terrible time for vets to have to experience all those. For instance, Steve was a Patriot missile man, and I mean, I could only imagine, you know, hearing those fireworks go off.
Sure.
It makes a lot of people very, very concerned. Another form of PTSD. And I don't think what should be ignored also is the VA claims that can be made because of PTSD. Steve, they do exist, right?
Absolutely. There's actually a big percentage of us veterans who get turned down time and time and time again for our disabilities. For myself, I actually have I wear hearing aids in both ears because of what happened in Iraq. I have tinnitus. I just did a hearing test a few weeks ago where they said I have severe hearing loss, and then they denied my claim for disability.
Wow. Yeah.
It's just not the disability where it could be where you're hearing. It could be mental. It could be physical. It could be anything. And for when somebody needs help and you keep denying them or trying to help them, whatever case it is, it doesn't start the beginning of the problem or the stigma to try to assist them in their everyday life.
And that's why we are so fortunate to have the consular with us, Attorney Steve Seidman.
Thank you, Cliff.
Oh, absolutely. Listen, sir, Steve, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it. Congratulations. And you know what we think about what you've done and what you've paid for.
Sir, I appreciate your time, and thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, sir.
Great gentleman. It is 4:30. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. This, of course, is America's Heroes Group. Stay with us. We'll be back with more right after this.
Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, the host of America's Heroes Group. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident or the result of malpractice, you have only one chance to get the compensation you deserve. You need a law firm you can trust with experience and resources who will fight on your behalf. With a proven track record of excellence both in and out of the courtroom, call Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman at 312-781-1977 for a free consultation or visit SeidmanLaw.net. That's Seidman, S-E-I-D-M-A-N, law.net.
Hi, we're the National Women Veterans United, the proud sponsors and partners of the American Hero Group.
Our mission is to ensure that women veterans are aware and have access to their VA benefits, resources, and entitlement. We monitor current or pending legislation that may impact VA eligibility and services.
We're located at 7907 South Racine in Chicago, Illinois.
And we provide a safe place for women to come relax. We have a meditation room. They can get food, clothing, housewares, whatever emergency services they may need.
We're the only Women Veterans Center in the state of Illinois. We are members of the Army, Navy, Marines, Air Force, Coast Guard, National Guard, and the Reserves.
Hey, Cliff, where can a veteran business owner go on the south side of Chicago for breakfast, lunch, and dinner meetings?
I'm a veteran, and that's an easy answer. Pearl's Place on 39th and Michigan. Pearl's Place has free parking available across the street. Reasonably priced, quality food that tastes delicious. Veteran owners, there's no place like Pearl's Place.
Hey, I'm Sister Soldier, proud partner of She Voices on America's Heroes Group. She serves, she matters, where your change becomes empowered. Also, watch me on the web at SheVetInspires.com or YouTube. Remember, I'm every woman because I am just like you.
Hi,
I'm Cliff Kelly, Vietnam veteran and host of America's Heroes Group, the game changer in radio, print, and digital media programming. We are a roundtable talk show where information, resources, and referrals are provided intentionally every Saturday to empower our military population on WVON 1690 AM, the iHeart Radio app from 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Please visit our website at www.americashg.org. Good afternoon. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. I'm Cliff Kelly, and this is, of course, America's Heroes Group Roundtable, Veterans Court, with Judge Hooks and Attorney Lori Roper, and also we are pleased to have Attorney Carla M. Vanani with us, and also Valerie B. Alazzo. We've got all of these great folks on talking about something that, of course, we all are concerned with. Also, Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox was going to be with us. She'll be with us in another time. Her flight was late. And, of course, all of you know, once you're on the plane, that's it, right?
That's it.
Ladies, thank you all for being here. Appreciate it. And, Judge Hooks, thank you for being with us on the line, okay? Judge Hooks, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Cliff, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you so much for inviting me, Cliff.
Listen, you should be here. You would see all these attractive women here. You know them. you should be here. Thank you always for being with us. Judge Hooks is one of
It's always a pleasure, Cliff.
One of my favorite people. Oh, my goodness. love Judge
Hooks. We go back a little ways.
We sure do.
That's
right.
When I was a kid.
When you were a kid, right. I remember every decade of our relationship.
I think you told the Marine Corps I was going to. You gave a comment to the Marine Corps as I was getting commissioned, too. They came out and talked to you when you were
young. That's right. They sure did.
I remember that.
Only thing I told them was, well, yeah, he is more eligible than anybody. He's just picking the wrong service, you know.
You remember? Well, I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
I was in the Army, too. All of us know about that. You know what I mean? So what we want to discuss, benefits and success of a Second Chance Veterans Court programs and services. And it's just great what's going on with this Veterans Court and the things that are happening and giving these veterans not only a second chance but a lot of advice and all the things that are going on that we just love so much. Judge, you want to start us off and just give us a little...
Yeah, you've got the right people there, but I will tell you that you have one of our recent graduates, Valerie, there that has... She did a wonderful job in the program. You have one of our best mentors there with Ms. Fiona, Attorney Fiona. She's also a criminal defense attorney, and she helped Valerie as a volunteer mentor. and actually helped to secure some housing, went down and dealt with the housing authority on several different times on our own dime, and has really mentored her very well. And you have Ms. Roper, who's in charge of the public defenders that service the the Veterans Court. So you have quite a crew there, but you are right. Our veterans, we call upon our veterans to do things when we need them to protect us from harm's way. But then when they come back, as you well know, Cliff, we typically do not give them what they deserve. And if they get in trouble with law enforcement, there are allegations against them, we really don't give them typically what they deserve. But now, with the Veterans Program under the Chief Judge's office, we have several Veterans Programs throughout the county. Skokie, I think there's one in Bridgeview. I have the main one at 26th Street in the Criminal Division, the Layton Building.
Layton.
And Layton, by the way, George Layton was an Army officer in World War II.
Yeah, he was. That's right.
Yeah, fought in Germany, got the, I think, Silver Star and Bronze Star. He was an infantry officer. Mm-hmm. He was almost like a Marine, Cliff. But,
thanks a lot.
We've got a Veterans Court named after federal.
Isn't that great? Yeah, that's
that is great.
That in itself is something different, you know?
But we got to make it good. I mean, even him being a veteran, he was wrongfully accused of inciting a riot as a lawyer. And Thurgood Marshall had to come up to file an appearance. So, you know, the veteran status there didn't save him from being indicted as a lawyer before he became a judge.
Isn't that something? Yeah.
Wow. But anyway, you have the right players there. They all are very much a part of this program. Of course, State's Attorney Fox, she has several assistants that prosecute in these courtrooms, and they're very flexible in terms of assisting veterans getting their lives straight. So you've got a whole crew, and I'm sure State's Attorney Fox will make herself available when she returns.
Yeah, she will.
On a few future shows. So, I'm glad Judge Evans gave me this. It's one of my several assignments. And it's my most enjoyable assignment.
I love it when you say you're most enjoyable. The State's Attorney Fox is on a plane now. She was going to be here, but, you know, the flights have been really screwed up all over, and that's why she couldn't be here. But she'll...
Of course.
Yeah, and we'll take care of that. Let's go on with Ms. Roper, let's start with you.
Well, I'm really excited about this show. For some time, we've been educating the listeners on Veterans Court, and we've been able to have wonderful judges like Judge Hooks and Judge Evans come on the show and tell us a little more about Veterans Court and just kind of like the nuts and bolts of it. But what's so exciting today is that we have an actual recipient of all the services that are given in court, and that she is here and is a proud graduate of the Veterans Court.
Yeah,
so I am very excited for Ms. Lazo to be here and to tell us her perspective on being a recipient of all these wonderful services and all this wonderful advice that she got from Judge Hooks.
This is just great. Should we go to her now, or should we go to her now?
I think so.
I didn't know whether
she has a great story to tell.
I know she does, but I didn't know whether Attorney Fiani wanted to say something.
No, I think we should go to Valerie first.
Go right now?
Yes.
Okay. I wanted to do it right.
Yes.
Right.
Valerie is
the star.
Listen,
you ladies, listen, all you I'm going to do whatever you women say.
I'm just her helper. That's all.
Whatever you women say, I'm doing it. Go right ahead. Well, Valerie Lazo. Let me say this, U.S. Marine veteran, right?
Yes, sir.
And graduate of Veterans Court. Go right ahead.
Mm-hmm. Well, hello. I want to thank everybody for being on the show. And what Veterans Court meant to me, being allowed to be actually in Veterans Court with the opportunities, Judge Hooks had a lot of great resources. Like he stated, the second chance for me being first time in trouble. So by completing it with all the support, it's a strong support team, but the support team did not give up because...
Let me interrupt you a minute, because before we get into that, if it's all right, you are a Marine veteran.
That is correct, sir.
Tell us a little bit about that first. I mean, you being a Marine, I would never think that. You know?
I get that all the time.
Yeah, right.
Because of my size, yeah. Yes.
Well, wasn't your size, you're gorgeous. So,
Thank you. I served in the Marine Corps from 1999 to 2002, got an honorable discharge was stationed in San Diego, went to Japan for 6 months, along with some Arizona, some other places, but that was my home base. And I joined the Marine Corps to honor my brother who had passed. That's why I
in
joined
Marines.
The Marine Corps. That is correct.
Okay. I was wondering what the how you did that. Yes. Your brother passed?
Yes.
On duty?
No.
Oh, okay. But he was a Marine.
He was actually was murdered with gun violence in the city of Chicago back in 96.
Wow.
So he wanted to be a Marine, and so I did it in his honor.
I got you. So he hadn't been in
no.
the service yet, but you knew he wanted to be.
Yes.
And once he passed away, you did that to honor him.
Yes, that's correct.
Good. Tell us what happened when you went and, said, I want to join the Marines. What did they tell you?
I couldn't do it. my mother said I was crazy, you know, because I've always been smart in school books, just doing school.
Mm-hmm.
I loved school. So mm-hmm. when I said, well, I'm going to take a break and let me try this, and nobody said I can do it, but I did, and I loved it.
Isn't that something? That's interesting. Did anybody admit that they were wrong?
Oh, yeah, I went back to the Navy recruiter. He was the first one, and I was like, look, here
hello?
I am.
Yes, we're still on, Judge. Mm-hmm. Go right ahead. You went to the Navy recruiter?
Yeah, I went to the Navy recruiter at first, and then I went back, and I told him that I changed my mind. I was going next door, and he was like, you can't do it. And I was like, I'm going
to
come back
Marines,
in 3 months. I'm going to come back, and I'm going to show you. And he couldn't believe it. He was like, oh, okay, I guess you proved me wrong. And I was like, I did.
That's great. What was your MOS?
Aviation logistics.
Aviation logistics. Meaning?
Supply.
Okay. Aviation logistics. This is interesting. Let's take a couple of, we've got three wonderful ladies here. And, of course, we have Judge Hooks on our live line. Let's go to Taylor. Taylor, hi. You're on WVON 1690. Taylor, are you there? Hello, hello, hello. Taylor? Okay, maybe not. Let's go to Georgia on line.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, Georgia. How are you?
Hi. I was just calling to say hello to my judge.
Okay.
This is Georgia. Hi.
Georgia, who are you? Who is your judge?
I want to say hello to my judge, Judge Hooks.
Oh, okay. Judge Hooks, are you there? We're having some technical problem.
I don't know what you're involved in, but I want to be a part of it. You know me. You know I'm always fighting for the underdog.
Judge Hooks, I don't know whether you heard that. She said,
and I want you to know that I never forgot the experience of working with you, the best judge I had.
Well, that's wonderful.
So, Georgia, are you a veteran?
Huh?
Are you a veteran?
Can you hear me? Let me turn down my radio. I'm Judge Hooks' clerk. I was his clerk.
Oh, Georgia.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is Georgia. Foster.
Oh, hi.
Yeah.
Hi.
Judge Hooks, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I don't know.
Can you hear me?
No, evidently not. So, well, we'll let him know.
Maybe I have to call back.
Yeah.
I can't hear you.
We'll let him know. Okay.
Okay.
You were his clerk. Thanks.
I'll try calling back.
Oh, no, there he is. Judge Hooks, are you there? Well, yeah, we're having some terrible technical problems, unfortunately. I heard him say hello. But we'll continue. When we get the judge back, we'll make sure that he knows his clerk. That's right. That's right. Carla, tell us about what you do. And you've been, of course, appointed by Judge Hooks as a veteran corps mentor. Tell us about your activities, please.
Well, part of my responsibility was just to be available for Valerie outside of the court. And I wanted a female mentee. I thought I could relate better. And Valerie was perfect. I was always on the phone with her, talking about her issues, kind of like, what do we call it, Val?
Big sister,
but we also called it like an AA sponsor without the alcohol.
Yeah.
We were there. We were always talking.
That's funny.
I was so proud of her. And she had some housing issues that we needed to deal with. And so when I got appointed, her and I came up with a strategy on how we would deal with that to get her through the end of the program. And we just got the letter, actually, that we were successful.
Oh,
and I want to give a shout out to her attorney who was walking with her, John, from the public defender's office. He was so involved. He even came down to the hearing, and we double-teamed the Chicago Housing Authority attorney, and we actually put the trial on almost like a murder trial to keep her in Chicago housing. We had witnesses. We had all kinds of things. It was like a three-hour hearing. But
she didn't shoot anybody.
No.
In her own apartment.
No. It was just a lengthy, almost like a trial, and it was supposed to be just a 10-minute hearing, and we just stretched it out to where they knew she was our hero. She had served the country, and she deserved to continue to be in the program.
What would be the, what was supposed to
be? It was just some logistical thing. She hadn't signed, you know, some paperwork, and it was nothing that she could have foreseen. Mm-hmm. Nothing she could have foreseen. But with John coming down there and testifying, and then her other help, too, from the Veterans Administration, we just double-teamed them, triple-teamed them. But we've remained friends. She's very special to me. And as a matter of fact, she's helped me quite a bit. When my grandson was being bullied, she was, you know, right there praying, offering to give him self-defense classes. She's my hero. She's my absolute hero.
Thank you. Oh, wonderful.
See, now I understand that. She was going to give him self-defense classes. Some years ago on this show, we had this very big discussion whether women should be in combat. And I was one of the ones that most vociferously said, yes, women will kick your ass. And, you know, if you don't believe that, think of any of your species. Mess with the offspring.
That's it.
Yeah. Women will do that. So, yeah, that doesn't surprise me. So she's going to help out. Yeah, teach him what to do. Hey, right on. Hopefully we... Judge Hooks, are you back?
Yeah.
Okay, Joy, I don't know whether you... I got to say...
I can't hear over the phone. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, I can't hear the broadcast, but I'm here.
Okay, well, I just got to tell you this. Georgia called and said that she was your clerk, and she was you the best judge that ever existed. So,
but let's not go too far. But I appreciate it.
Yeah, I
appreciate it.
I told her
I have good people to work with. The Veterans Administration, as Attorney Fioni said, the VA does a wonderful job.
That's great. That's great. Let's take another caller. Our call-in number, 312-374-8130. Let's go to Kelly. Taylor, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, Taylor, good. Go right ahead.
Yes. He's telling the truth about the Veteran Administration. In Tuscaloosa, they've been very helpful for us. We found out that my father was suffering from ionizing radiation. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And we just learned this in April. And what's unusual, the time that he contracted cholera and typhus in the war, everything occurs in April in the children, my conditions, and things of this nature. And the other thing here, Mr. Kelly, is my brother and I share the birthday with American presidents. And there is a numerical connection to the presidencies of this country in the men in my family. And what it is that I have created is called the prenatal numerical presidential research file.
Okay.
And I looks like I'm going to have to go forth by myself because my brother has two graves in Tuscaloosa, one in North Ward.
Well, I tell you what to do on that, Taylor.
Pardon me?
I'll tell you what to do on that. At the end of the show, you will hear our executive producer, Glenda Smith, give information how you can reach us. And make sure you get that information, and Glenda will make sure that you find out what we need to know, and we'll see what we can do to assist you on that. Okay, thank you so much. That's something that is very important. With the situation here with the PTSD, 22 people a day.
Yes.
What do you think of that?
Well, I think that we have the resources, and we should make them available.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think that the veteran should come first before anyone. A veteran should have all the services that this country can offer. Mm-hmm. And I think that nobody understands, I certainly don't understand, mm-hmm. What Valerie went through. I had a niece and nephew and brother-in-law, and I don't understand what they went through. But I think that we don't do enough. It's a shame
That's
that we're
true.
Not doing enough.
It really is.
That's true.
Attorney family. Well, and, yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. Valerie, what exactly did you experience or participate in when you were in Veterans Court? What services mm-hmm. were you active in?
Well, I was pretty much active in everything that Judge Hooks had to offer. At first, I was very stubborn, and like I said, I said I'm not going to do this. I just wanted to give up. I did, honestly. But I'm glad I didn't because mm-hmm. of the support team. And so what I did was a lot of volunteer work, helping veterans when I was trying to, I guess, figure out and help myself. So like a lot of volunteer work. I did some art therapy that they offer at Jesse Brown because that's where I go. And Thresholds mm-hmm. is another organization that does a lot for veterans. So I got actively involved with them. And I just volunteer a lot of my time, so that's what keeps me going. That's it.
And you would not have known about this at all.
No.
So that just shows you what a great program this is.
Yeah. And also, yeah. Judge Hooks had a gentleman by the name of Kevin Hall. Kevin Hall is a representative that helps with your disability claims, helping to get your claim filed and put in. He worked very hard, again, going the extra mile, which they all do on the team of the personnel that Judge Hooks brings in. And mm-hmm. so I put in for my disability when I got out in 02, got denied, and I just gave up. It took 6 months with the help effort of Kevin Hall, and I got 100% after 6 months.
And I want to say this.
Yeah,
Judge Hooks goes above and beyond on this program. Mm-hmm. He will search out mentors. He calls in every single favor. If he thinks you could be a perfect match for one of his mentees, he will say, I need you. Come see me. I want you in the program. And, I mean,
That's great.
He'll call in every favor, not for himself, mm-hmm. but for one of the veterans.
Yeah.
He's fantastic.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you what, whenever he's up for retention, mm-hmm. and I'm not sure when that is, mm-hmm. but everybody that listens needs to vote yes.
Absolutely.
Everybody.
Yeah.
That's another Marine that's a hero.
He is a hero.
Yes,
yeah.
He is.
That's
he
what
is.
We used to kid each other all about. You know, right? I said, yeah, you're great, but you're just... Somebody convinced you to hook up with the wrong service. I love him. He is a judge.
I'll get him after the show.
Yeah.
So, Valerie, would you say that the Veterans Court changed your life? Or just kind of just help? You were going on a different direction, but it kind of helped direct you? Or what do you think the Veterans Court really did for you personally?
Made me believe in myself when I just wanted just to totally give up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good. See?
You really think you, if it had not been for that, you would have given up?
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, I see a tremendous change in her. Tremendous change. I mean,
because I wouldn't even believe that.
The way
she's sitting in, and but you were there. You know.
Like I said, when my grandson was bullied, because we talk all the time, I text her and she said, "I'm on it. What do you need? What do you need?" I mean, we're really good friends. She's wonderful. I mean, I love her. She's my hero. It's my honor to have mentored her. I mean, I was the lucky one to have known her.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
It is great. It's great.
To hear that.
Yes, it is. Both
she knows how special she is now.
Well, you too.
Yes.
To give up your time. Yeah. That's right. Wonderful.
Well,
thank
when
you
Judge
so
Hooks
much.
Asks you to do him a favor.
You better do that favor.
You got to do that favor.
Absolutely. a move.
Yeah.
Find another planet.
Yes, there you go. You know him well.
Yes, right. Yeah. But the great thing about it is he's not going to ask you to do anything wrong.
No, and because there are so few female veterans
right.
in the program and
exactly.
so few female mentors mm-hmm. in the program, he kind of scopes everybody out. And
we've got a growing number of women
yes.
In combat
yes.
units, which, as I heard, as I mentioned earlier, I think that's great, you know, because I've always said women will take you out. Come on, you know. you know, so... I have a problem with that. Judge Hooks, I understand, is still on. Oh, well, we lost.
Yeah, Cliff,
go right ahead.
Here.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah.
We have a prosecutor and we have public defenders at the screening courts as they come through the bond court system that identify whether a person has been charged as a veteran or not. And they kind of get, they have the option of coming to be on one of our court calls. I also have fellow judges who receive people in their courtrooms and ascertain that they are veterans, and then they send them over to our screening team to see if we can, verify their service and give them the assistance they need. What I didn't mention was, the military sometimes are not kind with veterans either when they're on active duty. So particularly soldiers and Marines and airmen of color. So we have an overabundance of people that served on active duty, but they left with less than honorable discharges for a variety of different reasons. Mm-hmm. And some of those reasons are unfair. So we also provide services to veterans who are not honorably discharged. Mm. And we try to get their discharge upgraded. So that, people can be affected by the service and not in such a positive way and actually come out with what we call bad paper, Cliff. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so we don't throw those folks away. We have resources for them, too. And if we're successful, wow, we might be able to even get them, get that a reversal on the characterization of the discharge. So it's a total program. We're going to, Valerie's one that's going to come back, whether she knows it or not, to assist from time to time. We're trying to save these veterans, one veteran at a time. So that's the goal. But like, Ms. Fiona, like I said, is one of our excellent, mentors. We have other mentors. Lori screens, Roper screens the public defenders who, are more sensitive to, special situations and gives me some of the best ones. I've had nothing but good public defenders. I have not had nothing but the best state's attorneys. Now, all these attorneys I have on my call, this is a separate from my 400 felony cases, but all the state's attorneys I've been exposed to and the public defenders I've been exposed to they have other courtrooms they have to deal with.
Sure.
That don't have anything to do with the veterans' call. This is a second job for all of us.
Judge.
For example, does criminal defense work throughout the county and, in the suburbs, and including the suburbs. And
Judge, so Judge Hook, we are out of time. You are great. These three ladies are fantastic. And I want to thank all of you. Thank you so much. We'll
thank
be talking
you.
Again.
Thank
all right.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good day.